text is the gospel reading, Mark 8:31-38. Do you mind? That's usually an expression of disgust or another way of saying, pardon me, as a question that expects a yes answer. We all use the expression, but this text asks it in a different way. Do you mind? Of course you do. You're always minding something. You can't mind nothing. No matter when somebody asks, what's on your mind? We can't answer nothing. Oh, there are Eastern religions that are said to train a person to empty their mind, but that's the point. They're minding something. The nothing they are allegedly thinking is something. I can say they are said to, because Jesus himself makes it an either or. He rebukes Peter for minding, that's phroneo, the things of men rather than the things of God. Paul also says there are only two options. Everyone is minding one or the other. For those, I'm quoting St. Paul now, for those who are according to the flesh, mind phroneo, the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. For the mindset, that's phronoma, of the flesh is death. But the mindset, phronoma, of the spirit is life and peace. Paul uses the same verb Jesus does and says you mind either the things of the flesh or the things of the spirit. Then Paul goes on to use the noun from that verb, mindset, phronoma. Again, there are only two mindsets. Life, peace is one, and death is the other. So which is it? Oh, come on. What right-thinking person would say, hey, I'll mind the things of men, which our text shows can be satanic and always is the mindset of death. Do you think Peter, who took Jesus aside personally, tenderly, to assure him, as Matthew records, that the suffering, rejecting, killing, and also therefore the rising shall never happen to you? Do you think he thought he was minding the things of men, let alone the things of Satan? But Jesus says he was. So how come you're so sure you don't have the mindset of men, of flesh, of Satan, and death? Well, let me test you. Do you have an every man for himself attitude? Jesus shows this is the mindset the satanic Peter had by telling the crowd it reflected whoever wants to save his life attitude. The word for life here can be translated soul, life, self. Since self-esteem, self-confidence, self-regard, self-respect are the gold standard of mental, emotional, and spiritual health in the 21st century, which no well-adjusted, sane person can question, let's translate self. If you have an every man for himself attitude, self-preservation is your prime directive, life revolves around what you think, what you do, what you say, well, then your mindset is of men, of flesh, of Satan, and death. Next test question. Let's, for easy recall, call it the Charlie Daniels test. Recall Johnny, even though he knows it might be a sin, takes the devil's bet and wagers his soul that he's a better fiddle player. Oh, come on. Who could bet their own soul? Lots of people. Most people, in fact. Jesus says people risk, they wager, they bet their soul to gain something in this world. Now again, the word soul here is the soul, life, self, Greek word. And Jesus doesn't tell you what the bet is, only that even if you make the bet, even if you win, you lose. If you could gain the whole world at the price of losing your soul, would it be worth it? And be clear on this, only Jesus in the great temptation was offered the whole world in exchange for a soul. Fallen men are offered much less, a few moments sensual pleasure, a few dollars more, 15 minutes of fame. Many, like Faust, take the bet and lose not just self, but another. Though cheaply lost, what can you give, pay, forfeit to get back your soul? The great stories about guilt, crime and punishment, Barabbas, Macbeth, they tell the tale. Adam, Jacob, David, Judas, those are the biblical examples. They know they've wagered and lost their soul for a pleasure that turned to poison, and they don't see any way of getting it back. And they're right. When hell freezes over, that's when they'll be able to buy back their soul. That's our expression. Jesus' own is when a camel passes through the eye of a needle. That's when the Raskolnikovs, the Barabbases, the Macbeths, the Adams, the Jacobs, the Davids, the Judases, that's when they can be redeemed. When a camel passes through the eye of a needle, till then they endlessly are washing their hands, despairing of mercy, and guilt is their worm that never dies, that Jesus says the damned in hell die forever with. Do you mind? Of course you do. But are you minding the things of the people of God, or of death, or life, or self, or peace? The third test. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Of course not. He's my Savior, Physician, Redeemer, and friend. I'm just ashamed of some of his words. Oops. Jesus says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. Now don't think one out of two ain't bad. Don't think, well, as long as I'm not ashamed of both Jesus and his word, I'm good. Let me reproduce the Greek. Whoever should be ashamed of me, no emphasis, that is of the word of me, emphatic, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. Notice Jesus does not say, as the insert has, words, plural, but word, singular. All Jesus' words hang together. You can confess Jesus in all points he has revealed himself in Scripture, but just one, and you're ashamed of the whole Jesus. Let me give you some of the word of Jesus that is popular to be ashamed of. I know, because I blushed over them all. How about a six-day creation? Exodus 20:11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. God's order of creation. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to realize the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. How about life in the womb being a person? Psalm 51:5. In sin my mother conceived me. Only a person can be a sinner. Psalm 139:15. Life in the womb is woven together by God. You think he's knitting together there a non-person? In Jeremiah 1:15, the Lord says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Think he set apart a potential person to be something one day? Of course, in context of our text, the word Peter was ashamed of was about the meekly suffering, churchly rejected, and officially killed Jesus. Don't tell me that's not us. It's easier to speak of God this and God that than of the God who is man hanging dead on a cross. It's easier to preach Christ and him risen than it is with Paul to preach Christ and him crucified. It's easier to tell people of the miracles, big and small, always observable, that God does, than glorying in the water that rescues you from death and the devil. It's easy to speak of feeling forgiven. It's hard to speak of your forgiveness being found in the mouth of a man. It's easier to speak of a risen and glorified Jesus reigning and ruling in heaven than to point to bread and wine and say, there on that altar to be eaten and drank is the body and blood of my God and Savior who reigns over all things. Today is Reminiscere Sunday, so named for the first word in the Latin introit, remember. Memory can often be the first step back. In the distant country, the prodigal son suddenly remembered his home. O. Henry has a short story where a boy leaves his small village and becomes a pickpocket. One day in that big city, after stealing, he sees the girl he used to set beside in the village school. This woman is still innocent, the sweet, innocent girl she had been. Then he remembered what he had been and realized what he was. He leaned his burning head against the cool iron of a lamppost. God, he said, how I hate myself. starting to come back like a leitmotif. No, it's like recovering from amnesia, but it's the opposite. It's Jesus' words, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Chrysostom, a native Greek-speaking church father, says that this isn't denying, this is renouncing. This word is used only of renouncing self and Peter renouncing Jesus. In classical Greek, it meant a failure to see self. A reoccurring theme of Jesus that is stealing on my ear, remembering to forget self, failing to see self, saying of self what Peter said of Jesus, "I know not the man." And Paul tells us how this can be in 1 Corinthians 2:16. "But we have the mind of Christ. Remember, he was of a mind to exchange his body and soul for yours, to exchange his holiness for your dirtiness, to exchange his innocence for your guilt." It wasn't a mere matter of trading, though, the one for the other. There was a cost, there was payment, there was blood, there was sweat, and there were tears involved. Remember how strangely the Zacchaeus account ends? "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's the reason given for why salvation could come to the home of a chief tax collector who was very rich. Jesus just before had said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven." So within the context of Luke 18 and 19, it comes about that the impossible happens. A camel is threaded through the eye of a needle. A very rich man goes to heaven. This happens because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, wherever they may be found. To find the lost cost, Jesus had to pay for the right to find them. They had lost themselves the moment they came into the world, and God's own law would keep them that way. The law judges us as unworthy of being found, as guilty of our own lostness. Jesus keeping the law in our place and then denying himself, taking up his cross and following it all the way to the point of dying on it, well, that pays the price for us to be found. And Jesus declared he paid the price willingly. Jesus comforts all lost sheep with these words from John 10. "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." Who's ashamed of what they paid dearly for willingly? Though you and I, sinners as we are, have been ashamed of Jesus, his words and his works, from creation to the created order to the way salvation comes to us, Jesus is not ashamed of us. Hebrews 2:11 trumpets. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Do mind this. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.